Good evening. Good to see some of you back this evening. It's great to always be able to get together, be able to freely meet and worship God. This morning, we had talked about heaven and what it would be like and the beauty that the gift, the precious gift that God has given to us that is waiting for those who follow and do His will. And so this evening, I kind of wanted to keep on that pace and talk about the exact opposite of heaven, that being hell. And if heaven's the place where we want to be for all of eternity, hell would definitely be the place we do not want to be for all of eternity. And, you know, while heaven, it's eternal presence with God. You're eternally in the presence of God. Hell, you're eternally separated from God, completely separate from God. God's presence is nowhere to be found in hell. And sad thing is, a lot of people are going to find themselves here, and it will be a joyous day for those who do the Father's will, but it'll also be a sad day for the many who will be lost. So this morning I just want to go over hell and what it is and why we do not want to be there. And so real quick, if you turn with me to 2 Thessalonians, turn there, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. I'll be reading verse 5 through 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5 through 9. It says, "This evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are also suffering, since indeed God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might." And so hell is, it pretty much demonstrates God's justice. It demonstrates how if we do the thing, heaven and hell shows, if we do the things we need to do, if we do the things that God asks of us, we will receive that gift of heaven. And if we don't, well, then we'll receive hell. But while we're on earth, we make a choice. While we live, we make a choice each and every day where it is our destination will end, whether we'll get to heaven or whether we'll get to hell. But we all make that choice. And if you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 through 11. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 through 11. It says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others, but what we are is known to God. And I hope it is known also to your conscience." So we're each and every one of us are going to appear before the judgment seat of God. We're all going to appear before him on that day. And as it says here, we all will be held accountable for everything we do, everything that comes out of our mouths, everything we say. And we will receive what is due. But we all make that choice. Nobody else makes that choice for us, whether or not we get to heaven or we get to hell. We make that choice. And a sad thing about it is a lot of people make the choice of choosing to willingly go to hell. That's the choice people make when they don't follow the word of God, when they don't obey God. That's the choice that they make. Not willingly choosing to go to hell, because that is what you're choosing when you disobey God. So this evening, just want to go over six descriptive terms, the ways to describe hell, ways the Bible talks about and describes hell. And the first thing is that the Bible talks about hell as an eternal stench. And we see this in Revelation 19, verse 20. In Revelation 19, verse 20. It says, "And the beast was seized, and with him the false prophet who did the signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone. And so, and then another different translations, and it talks about, it says that they will burn with sulfur. And when it talks about sulfur there in Revelation chapter 19, verse 20, when it talks about that sulfur, that is that smell of rotten eggs. I'm not sure if any of you smelled rotten eggs before, but I've smelt it a lot living on a farm. That's what that sulfur is talking about in Revelation 19. It's not a pleasant smell at all. At all. It's one of the most vile smells I've smelled personally. And that's what will be there in hell for all of eternity, that stench of rotten eggs. And again, this is for eternity. This isn't some type of timeout where, oh, you didn't obey God, so you're going to be sent here for a certain amount of time. You'll be here. Those who do not follow God's will be here for all of eternity. And, you know, we can't grasp that, just the full extent of what an eternity will feel like. There won't be night, day. There won't be any of that. It'll just be eternal. And then we see again in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, if you turn there. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, it talks about the same thing. It says, and the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And, you know, hell is one of those things that it's hard to talk about, but this is something, this is the reality. This is the reality of what will happen if we do not do the things we need to do. That's why it's so important that we, that's why I talk about it so much, following the authority of God, following the word of God, exactly how it is written, not making a single change to it. Because if we do, if we don't follow God's authority to the full extent, this will be our punishment. And then so you have that smell of eternal stench with this sulfur, and then you also have that eternal darkness. The Bible talks about, we see this in Jude verse 13. You turn there with me, Jude verse 13. It says, wild waves of the sea casting up the foam of their own shame, wandering stars for whom the gloom of utter darkness have been reserved forever. And so this is talking about hell. And there's a reason why it's utter darkness, why it's just complete darkness, no type of light. And we read this verse in, Revelation chapter 21 verse 22, if you turn there. Revelation 21 verse 22. It says, and I saw no sanctuary in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its sanctuary. And the city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. And the nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And so heaven, God's presence is there. God is what lights heaven. But hell, God's presence is not there. God has no part in hell. He's nowhere to be found there. Because his presence is not there, there's no light. Because God is the light. And because that light is not there, that's why there's utter darkness in hell for all of eternity. Pitch black. If you close your eyes now, you can still see a little bit of light. If you close some doors, turn off the light, and there's light in the other room, you can still see a little bit of light even then. But in hell, you won't be able to see anything. And that's why it's called utter darkness. It's that separation from God and just that complete loneliness that is there in hell. Also in Matthew chapter 22, verse 13. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 13, it says, then the king said to the attendants, bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. again referring to hell and just how you will be completely separated from God's presence. God will not be anywhere to be found. And then we see this being reiterated in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, and then Matthew chapter 25, verse 30, if you want to mark down those verses. But again, that utter darkness, and that's sad, being separated from the presence of God. I can't even imagine that. Not having God there with you. You can't lean on God. You can't go to God in prayer because he's not there. Because God's given us the chance now. God's given us the chance now to do what's right. And so when that time comes, it'll be too late. And so we need to do what is right continually. And so along with that utter darkness will be an eternal, unquenchable fire. And we see this being talked about in Mark chapter 9, verse 43. If you turn there, Mark chapter 9, verse 43. It says, and if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. Amen to that. It's not worth it. And nothing on earth is worth having to face that eternal punishment, that unquenchable fire that will be there in hell, that eternal darkness, that separation from God's presence. There's nothing that important on earth that should cause us to want to go through all that. That's why Jesus says here, it's better for you to cut off your own hand than for you to sin and go to hell. Because this is not what we want at all. It's so easy to just, it's much better for us to just let go of our distractions, let go of the things that will cause us to sin rather than face what? This punishment. Because this wasn't designed for us. This was designed for Satan and his angels. That's what hell was designed for. But too many people, again, they choose to follow their own passion, their own lust, and whatever things that they don't want to let go of. And all those people, again, this is what will be waiting for them. And we see in Matthew chapter 18, verse 8. It's talking about that eternal fire again. Matthew chapter 18, verse 8. It says, and if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. And so, with that eternal fire again, it talks about the wailing and gnashing of teeth. That with that eternal fire comes eternal pain. Us being in pain for all of eternity. Matthew chapter 13, verse 50. Turn there. Matthew chapter 13, verse 50. It says, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Also in Matthew chapter 24 and Luke 13, verse 28, we see the same thing being reiterated. But just think about how much pain you have to be going through where it says you'll be wailing and gnashing your teeth, grinding your teeth together because of that pain that you'll be going through. The pain and suffering that will be in hell will be unimaginable. And that is hard to say. That's why people don't talk about it like that. That's why people don't talk about hell. But hell is something we need to keep in the back of our minds at all moments in our life and when we walk. It's not just, by word of God, it's not just all sunshine and rainbows. It's not. This is a spiritual war we are fighting. And when we go out in the world, we need to keep hell in the back of our minds and why we don't want to be here, why we should be doing the things we need to do. So that all of this eternal pain, like I said in the beginning, it's a choice we make when we walk out into the world. That choice every day, we have a choice whether we're going to pursue heaven or hell. And so that's why it's so important, why we need to just continually remind ourselves of what is at stake if we don't do what's right. And then you have that eternal worm in hell. And we see in Mark chapter 9, verse 48, where it's being mentioned. It says, Mark chapter 9, verse 48, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And so here, this isn't talking about an actual worm. This isn't talking about a worm actually crawling around in you. What this is talking about is the regret. The regret. And for Christians who knew had the truth, that constant reminder of I had the truth right in front of me. I knew the truth, and yet I still decided not to follow it. And if you look in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 through 21. And 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 through 21. It says, for if, after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last day has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness, then after knowing it, turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. It's saying it would have been better for them not to have even known the word. Wow. And that worm there, those people who knew the truth, that's what will be eating at them. That's one of the things that will be eating at them. I had the truth. I was taught the truth. And yet I still denied it. And yet I still chose to do my own thing for all of eternity. That is what is at stake. And it is very serious. And then lastly, of course, is I talked about this already, but eternal separation from God. If you look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. And I already talked about this, but that God, we will not be there. We will not be there in hell. He will be far away in heaven with those who decided, who chose while they were alive to follow him. And he will have no part with those who are in hell. And that's in, he will be away, that his presence, away from them. There will be no way for them to pray to God, lean on God, because he won't be there. And that's part, that is the saddest part of hell. The saddest part. Because we have the chance. Those people who will be here have the chance, have the truth in front of them to be in heaven, still chose not to follow God. And so because of that, God will not be there to comfort them when they're in hell. And so again, we have to make a choice. When we're all going to die once. And Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it says, and just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. So it's either we are going to die on earth or Jesus will come back before we pass away. But we have to be ready at any given moment, because each and every day, and I continually remind myself of this, each and every day is not guaranteed. When you lay down at night, you're not guaranteed to wake up. When you drive home, you're not guaranteed to make it home. When you walk, when you go anywhere in life, you're not guaranteed to make it back to wherever it is you're going. And that's why you have to be prepared at any given moment, because it's not guaranteed. We're not guaranteed anything in life. And so I'll leave you off with this last verse. If you turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, in your name did we not prophesy, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name do many miracles. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That will be a sad day for those who hear those words. Jesus telling them, depart from me. I never knew you. I can't imagine hearing those words. So that's why it's so important. We do our part continually obeying the word of God, because this is serious. When we come together, when we handle the word of God, this isn't a joke. This is serious stuff we are committed to. And we need to continually make sure we take it seriously. And so, if you are here today and you don't want to have any part in hell, there is the plan of salvation that God has set up for us so that we won't have to face this judgment that is hell. That is the plan of salvation. To hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. That is the plan that God has given us to be saved. And we need to teach that to others, that plan that God has given us. And also to especially teach, even after the whole plan, to remain faithful, to continually fight on for the word of God. Even after you've heard the word, believed in it, repented of your sins, confessed that Jesus is Lord and been baptized, you're not done there. And that's too many Christians stop at that step where it says be baptized. Too many Christians stop there and that's it. They're done. And a lot of Christians and a lot of people will face that judgment that is hell because of it. So I encourage you, if you need prayers from the church or if you need anything else, please come to the front as we stand and as we sing the song of invitation.